Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIO radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefooters Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myths of going barefoot is the one that has lived a full-time barefoot lifestyle for over 20 years and victims legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Barefoot is Legal broadcast. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. For those of you that may not know, I've been barefoot full-time for over 20-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 15 years ago. I'm the head of NP Media Group, where I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years, where I empowered up-and-coming artists to advance their careers. I'm also a victims legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have and the head of BIL's legal services department. Now, many of us have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons. Some of you for cultural reasons. Some of you for medical reasons. Health. Whatever. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or even dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons, call in, share your stories, your experiences, any issues you may have. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. You can get there by going to freedomizerradio.com. And also the official head of BIL's radio show on Facebook is Barefoot is Legal Radio. So you can check that out, send any messages to me, see our exclusive show content, send me all your hate mail there as well if you don't like what I say. Also check out our website, barefootislegal.org, official website, BIL. They have their public page on Facebook as well, and the Facebook group. It's a closed group. Just go to Barefoot is Legal. You can interact with other members of the Barefoot community during and after the broadcast if you live a Barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a Barefoot lifestyle. Just join our group if you have not yet joined already. Again, that's on Facebook, Barefoot is Legal. But now keep in mind, though, folks, this is not a fetish community. So for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers out there, this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you and spread the message that bare feet are legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. Last week, we were talking about some of the laws, court cases, lawsuits, stuff like that, when it comes to, some objections that you hear. And some businesses, they're getting in this thing now where they're going through the cycle, and it's like, oh, no. It's illegal. We don't want to get sued if you get hurt and all that. You know, it's just as ignorant as the health department myths. I mean, just more stupidity. But this is the next wave of stupidity. And last week I was talking about 300 and something lawsuits filed against businesses. And businesses have lost. And had to pay a lot of money to customers. Because they insisted that they wear shoes and they got hurt in shoes in their stores. Injury claims, people get injured wearing them. High heels, whatever. Boots, flats. Sneakers, flip-flops, it all happens. And businesses are being taken to court. Businesses are saying, oh, no, you can't be in here barefoot because if you get hurt, we're responsible. No, it's actually worked the other way around in a courtroom. The law is on our side. And the law has sided with the person that gets hurt in shoes in an establishment because the stores are requiring them to do so. And I was mentioning a couple cases last week. You can check out the archives. You can go to Freedomizer Radio. You know, check out the Barefoot is Legal page and group and all that. Check out the page that I set up for the show. And there's a bunch of cases there. You can listen to last week's episode. I won't bore you and start citing them all. Because businesses do have this crazy fear that they will get sued if someone barefoot is in their establishment. And if they get hurt. I mean, they tremble that their insurance will have to pay out or they'll get dropped. They shudder in fear that they will be fined by government agencies because they made it up in their mind. You know, they make this stuff up, folks. They shudder in fear that, the government is going to come into our store, shut us down because someone doesn't have a piece of string on their foot. See, we have rights. The law is on our side if we use it. And we have to use it right. See, that's the thing. You have to be smart going into this one. There's already precedents. There is already, everything. Business owners are losing in court because of injuries. No business has won yet against someone barefoot because they chose to be barefoot. Because this community, the barefoot community, does not want to sue businesses. We just want our right to be able to be normal people like everybody else. Leave us alone. Take our money. Let us shop. Let us do whatever we want to do. See, the past cases have set precedents for businesses losing in court. The law will protect us and fine a business for refusal of service. We got to use the law right. The law will protect us against discrimination and prejudice. The law will protect us from these nerfball brain employees, the ones who are barefoot for religious reasons, cultural reasons, health reasons, the ones who are barefoot for medical reasons, and the ones who are barefoot for personal choice and their own safety. We are adults. And I mean, even the children that want to go barefoot, they can. But if they get hurt in shoes because someone made them wear them, then whoever made them wear them, it's their fault. And people who are barefoot, they have such a high sense of awareness. They know what they're doing. But so many court cases where businesses have lost and had to pay a lot of money. I didn't get into it too in depth last week. But how does the law work in your favor? What are your rights in an establishment? And how is the business breaking the law when they refuse your service? See, lately in the community, we've had a lot of people start standing up. And it's like, yeah, I mean, there are more posts and more instances just in the past 6 months that I've seen where business is like, well, I'm going to call the cops. You know, person who's barefoot says, go ahead, please do. And all of a sudden the cop turns around and says, you know, you can't throw this person out. It's against the law. And the business is little by little. It's like, uh-oh, one of our managers just called the cops on a patron. And they said it was for religious reasons. They said it was for medical reasons. And now we're in trouble. And that's great. That's exactly what we are supposed to do, people. We do not move to the back of the bus anymore. The law is on our side if we use it right. But can a business have a policy that does not let you in barefoot in their establishment? And this seems to be the ongoing debate that I see a lot of. People say a business has a right to do whatever they want. Other people will say we have rights. They can't do that. Is the policy against the law? And in a way, yes, it is. Because if it's directed to keep people out, and those people are barefoot for most of those reasons that I mentioned, cultural, religious, medical, health, safety, and all that, then yes, it is against the law. Every state has some sort of human rights or civil rights act in place. The U.S. overall has the U.S. Department of Justice, and it's defined with people with disabilities in the ADA. And there are laws that work in our favor. And the laws in the U.S. Department of Justice are great. No individual shall be discriminated against on the basis of disability in the full and equal enjoyment of goods, services, facilities, privileges, advantages, all that, accommodations, whatever, in any place of public accommodation. And what's nice, it also says, by any private entity who owns, leases, or leases to, or operates a place of public accommodation. See, you will hear this thing where it's like, yep, but we're private property. And I just recently read a post on Facebook before the broadcast. And, well, actually, an hour and a half before the broadcast. Because if you're listening for the first time to the show previous to this, I do the Survival Emergency Preparedness Show. So now my research and my updates and everything are probably an hour and a half behind because I'll do like research and stuff before I start this program. But I don't know what's happened since, but I know that up until before this broadcast, maybe a couple hours ago when I was doing show prep and I was going through some posts that, you know, I saw a thing about, well, this one mall says that's private property. Now, last time this happened in a mall, stores were very mad at the mall management. Because the last time an incident happened like this, it was around peak of the holiday season. It was around, you know, the Christmas holidays and all that. Somewhere between Black Friday and, you know, the Friday after Thanksgiving and Christmas or something. Where retailers are starving for business. The internet world is shutting down brick and mortar merchants. And you hear stories about these stores closing. You hear stories about how they're shutting down things, you know, the closing a couple hundred locations throughout the country. I mean, these places are underperforming. Yeah, they may have their own e-commerce, their own internet websites and all of that to sell online. But there's also a lot of little stores in between those big stores on the ends of the mall. See, those are anchor stores. Malls need those stores. They occupy a lot of real estate. And it's not like you can just go in to where Macy's used to be or go into where Bloomingdale's used to be or go into where Sears used to be or JCPenney. who is going to go take up that real estate if an anchor store closes like that? I mean, really, they just board it up. I mean, that's a lot of overhead. A huge department store closing in a mall and all those little merchants in between rely on those big anchor stores. No one goes to the mall to say, I'm going to go to the food court today because I think mall food is delicious. I mean, it's just another food stand. I mean, in some malls, they do have some pretty decent food. But I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, kiddos, let's get in the car. We're going to try the sushi right outside of Sears. I don't think that would be my sushi destination. I don't think my destination for Chinese food is Happy Ping's Mall Walk. And there's also tons of other stores. And some of them, yes, are destination stores only for certain things. Like maybe there's a Kenneth Cole store. Maybe there's a Pacific Sunwear. Maybe there's a Hot Topic or something like that. That it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to go to the mall and check out Hot Topic. Or I'm going to go there and check out Pacific Sunwear. I want to go to Structure. I want to go to Buckle. Or I want to go to the Gap or something like that. But even stores like Gap, Old Navy, some of those are not the major, major department stores that occupy a ton of real estate that drive a lot of traffic into malls. Yeah, some of them are specialty brand stores, destination stores. But the guy selling sports posters, the guy selling As Seen on TV, or even the kiosks and stuff like that in the malls, they rely on the foot traffic of people that pass by to go from, we'll say, Macy's over to Sears, Sears over to JCPenney. And that's why all those little stores are in between. Well, when those big stores start shutting down, those other businesses suffer. So what does this mean for us? Well, the stores are mad at mall management because, like, oh, you know, we want these customers. Okay, maybe they don't shop in our shoe department, but I mean, they're buying suits, they're buying pants, they're buying shirts, they're buying hats, they're buying ties, they're buying jackets, whatever it is. And we want their business. So if you go into a mall and you have these crazy mall management, security guard, and all this, that say, leave the mall, don't spend your money here, when you're on your way to these big box stores, they're deterring business, and these larger stores, and I had a conversation with one when something happened. They said, oh, my God, I can't believe that. What are they doing? I mean, here, you use our other entrance. Park over there by our store because they don't want you to go to their competition. They want to keep you in that store. But still, they're just like, I can't believe that happened. We're going to alert corporate. We need, you know, we have a department that deals with that because it's a, you know, leasing, whatever, something like that, and blah, blah, blah. But they sit there and the stores themselves say, oh, you're always welcome. You're welcome to come here. You're welcome to shop here. But then, yeah, well, you have to get there. And it's a challenge. Retailers don't want their customers to be challenged getting to their location. They want them to easily access it, get in, get what they need. Now, of course, department stores, I have one thing about department stores that always drove me crazy. You could sit there in a department store and there could be no one in the department store, like a ghost town. You find what you need in the department that you want and there's no one at the register. It's like you go in there and you need a tie. And you're sitting there in men's ties and you're looking through ties and all that. They know you're there. They're watching you select ties. She would think that once she decided on a purchase, someone would already be on their way over to the register. Nope. So you go to the next department with another register there. No one there. Go to another department. You wander around a store looking for a register for someone just to take your money. This is one thing that always drove me crazy about department stores. And you end up sitting there in the infant clothes department or something. Sitting there just trying to buy one men's tie. Okay, maybe five or six departments over. it's not like they're even refocusing you into a department that they want you to look at more merchandise. It's not like they're saying, oh, well, he just bought a tie, so we're only going to put the cashier over there by men's suits and, or khakis or something or casual wear or something. Maybe they want some of that. So we're going to make them go over there. See, sometimes there's a purpose for things. Sometimes it's just stupidity. Now, the last few times I've been to a department store, it's been a lot better. The hunt to find someone to take your money is not as bad as it used to be because now they are starving for money. They see you walk in, oh, can we help you? You know, is there anything we help you find, blah, blah, blah. Oh, whenever you're ready, I'm available here. I'll help you ring. I'll ring you up over here, whatever. Do you have our card? Do you have any coupons? Do you want to sign up for this? Do you want to save here? Do you want to do this? And they bombard you with everything, which they should have done this maybe 15 years ago. But typically, I have like a four-minute rule. Once I find what I need, and as I'm browsing on my way to someplace to check out, there better be someone there when I get there. If I have to go more than 4 minutes with something in my hand in a department store, and no one is asked to help me, and I can't find where to pay, well, then I'll just leave it on whatever. Men's tie in baby's formal wear. Cookware in ladies' lingerie. Whatever. Whatever it is, when those 4 minutes are up, well, that's where I am. Still no success with someone trying to take my money. Well, now department stores are trying to do everything they can to get you in, keep you in, to make you, they want your money. And they were furious when I talked to them. I said, so just that I understand, how is it that you don't want customers in your store? And these are the people that guard your doors. They're not affiliated with them in any way. Now, I've never had an issue at all. But I hear people that do. And that's why I like to look into that. And thank God it's gotten better in a department store in the past, you know, since over the past 15 years. At least now you start to, it's easier to find someone at a register to pay for it. Because once those, my 4 minute rule is up, well, whatever I have in my hand, if there's no one there to take my money, it just gets left wherever it is. Cookware and baby bottles. Ties in ladies' lingerie. Whatever it is, 4 minutes is up. No one wanted to take my money yet. It's there. But when you tell them, hey, why is it so hard? Why do you have people that don't want customers in your store there that prevent traffic from coming in? Well, that went right up to corporate somewhere, and they apparently said something at a mall somewhere to wherever this was in whatever state this incident happened. Oh, and they apologized. Oh, they're so sorry, and we didn't mean that to happen. And no, we value our retail partners. And you get the whole – they just sit there spewing apologies and how much they value their retail partners and their and all this other stuff. And oh, we can't believe that happened, blah, blah. Because the stores finally said, listen, you want us to pay your rent. You want us to occupy all this space. Don't harass and hassle our customers and chase them away. See, getting those big stores on your side is very valuable. It's an awesome thing. I love it. Because you approach that store and they have more power over that management there. So that's another great tactic to take. Very useful. If you ever run into an instance, try it. And when they cite policies and stuff like that, they're so reluctant to give it to you in writing. First of all, they don't have it in writing anywhere. I mean, most of the time they don't, if they still have one. You know, most places just got rid of it. Because it's like, well, we really can't say stuff like that anymore. And you know, we really shouldn't do this and all that. You know, or then it's like the legal team's like, no, don't put that in writing. Someone asked about the policy about that. Nope, don't write it. Don't write it because this could happen to us if you do. So why do they still insist that this policy exists to begin with? Dear so-and-so, you idiot. Do you have a policy that says blah, 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 blah? And they sit there like, we don't know how to reply to this. And then all of a sudden, personal and legal gets involved. And then, you know, it goes from management to operations to all this other stuff. And they say, nope, don't tell them we have a policy. Use words like we recommend, but we do value. We value you, we recommend, but we'd be happy to make exceptions and accommodate that. Then they start backing out of the, we have a policy. You can't shop, you can't spend money because we have a policy that says you can't spend money. And the retail partners are just like, wait a minute. Thousands of square feet. Tens of thousands of square feet in a department store. That's a lot of overhead. And if one mall cop doesn't want customers to spend money in that store is not going to be very happy. I've seen malls cancel contracts with security companies. And I actually should try to pull up that information because I have the name of the security company. I have the management company for that mall. They're out of Illinois, if I remember right. But yeah, they said, well, okay, this is getting ridiculous. You know, these malls, you know, blah, blah. So there's some agency or something out of Virginia that staffs this mall's security or something like that. And yeah, they hire off-duty cops and, you know, security guards and stuff like that. But finally, the mall just said, well, we're getting into some trouble now. We're getting a lot of, you know, unhappy stores, the retailers, over the way mall security was treating customers. And not just members of the barefoot community either. These were people, you know, I mean, just all types. And this was going back, I think, to 2008, 2009, somewhere around there, when this first happened. And they just said, we're canceling the security contract we have with them. And I think they brought in a whole new place. I mean, at least in that region anyway. And who knows what happened to it afterwards. But yeah, when the stores are on your side up against mall management, you're in a good spot. They want your money. You can just say, I'm going to Amazon then. Well, we don't get involved. Okay, well, I'm not going to spend money here. I'll go to Amazon, eBay, and thousands of other sites. Thousands of other sites that want your money. You buy direct from the manufacturer now. And you can go to Sony's website. You can go to Trip New York City's website. You can go to, whoever. I mean, name one manufacturer. They have a website. Coleman. You can go to the Coleman website. You can go to Brooks Brothers' website. You can go to Tommy Hilfiger. You can go to Hugo Boss. I mean, any manufacturer is now in e-commerce. And the middleman's gone. If they don't want you in the store, they're losing a slice of that pie. They're losing that markup. Manufacturers will sell it cheaper than the stores if you go to their own websites because they can sell it for probably what they would normally sell it to the retailer for, and the retailer puts a markup on it. Put the retailer in place. Make sure they know that you have money and you want to spend it. And I love when they step up to the plate and back you. I love when the barefoot community is backed by the retailer up against these big malls like that. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Again, 319-527-6208. I'm Nick Pierce. You're listening to Barefoot is Legal. And we'll be right back after a few messages. Stay tuned.
Never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. So join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, the first Saturday of every month. Listen to Are You Ready? And be prepared.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or fatties, eating mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic! Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits like eating wholesome foods, and with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Well, welcome back. 319-527-6208. It's a way to be a part of the show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. If you want to be on the air, just press 1 if you have any questions, comments, or any thoughts to share. 319-527-6208. I'm Nick Pierce, and you're listening to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. Before the break, we were talking about some of the rights that we have. Well, a lot of rights that we have. We talk about that every week, but private, public businesses, what was going on with the malls, the stores hating the malls firing security contracts and all that around. So very interesting what's been going on. And, you know, civil rights law, outlawed discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, national origin, and in most states, sexual orientation as well. See, it says in most of these, you know, most of these acts that were passed on the state level that no private or public entity shall coerce, intimidate, threaten, or interfere with any individual in the exercise or enjoyment of, or on account of his or her having exercised or enjoyed, or on the account of his or her having aided or encouraged any other individual in exercise or enjoyment of any of the rights granted to protect them by the act of this part. And this is part of the law here, that when you really look at it, you use the law right, you can you will prevail in your argument. Anyway, 319-527-6208. Also check out the home of exclusive content on Facebook. If you go to Barefoot is Legal Radio, don't forget about our official website, barefootislegal.org. And I'm going to open up the phone lines now. And we have a longtime listener, frequent caller, Kevins. Welcome to the Barefoot is Legal show. How are you this weekend?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not much. So you're jumping to get on, so I figured I'd bring you on. Normally, we always run out of time. It seems like you never get on early enough, and there's always so much to say and talk about. So I always try to get you on as early as possible.
Okay, cool.
So this is interesting. I don't know if you – did you listen to my broadcast before this one? I started the new Survival and Emergency Preparedness radio show before this. So switching over and everything is very interesting. I go from the – survival prepper mode to the legal guy. And it's just an odd transition. Very weird.
Well, it sounds like you got a lot on your plate.
But it was funny because, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, in the studio switchboard and stuff, and it's like all of a sudden a whole batch of this drops, and then all of a sudden there's a new batch that chains over. And you're just like, what happened to all my phone numbers? And I realized, oh, that's right. Totally different show. Different following, different crowd and everything. And I'm just like, wow. I was surprised. I mean, for the first broadcast, the radio, the first round did pretty well. I was looking at some of the listener numbers, looking at the switchboard and stuff. And, I mean, we have a lot of callers on this show, and sometimes unless you push one, I have no idea that your number's there in the queue. But I do, you know, have help with people monitoring phone numbers, you know, constantly, you know, making sure that we start identifying what's what and who normally calls and stuff like that to get them on the air and keep an eye out for them and stuff. But it was a whole different world about a half hour up until a half hour ago. And I'm just like, wow, that's interesting. But thanks for joining me on the Barefoot is Legal show. So what do you got going on?
Well, you know what? You were talking earlier. Yeah, actually, you were just talking about being chased out of the mall and stuff like that. And it reminded me of a couple of years ago, I went to visit this other mall called MacArthur Mall here in Norfolk, Virginia. Mm-hmm. You know, so I went in. I guess I was kind of a little bit nervous, a little bit, because I ain't never been in this mall barefoot before. So I went in. I was talking to a friend on the phone, and of course, a mall cop spotted me. You know, as I was talking on the phone with my friend, you know, I forget the exact conversation, but I know it went along the lines of, you can't be here barefoot, or she said, I need shoes or something like that, you know, and I'm like, you know, okay, whatever. So as I proceeded to walk, this lady cop, she followed me out the door, like literally followed me out the door. And it was really strange, you know, had this lady cop follow me out the door. So I don't remember if I had a pair of shoes with me in my car or not, you know. But this was like in the beginning stages. So, you know, I haven't, like, you know, because still at that point I was still doing my research, and, you know, I wasn't. I mean, I knew it was, like, you know, illegal. I mean, I'm sorry. I knew that it was legal to go in, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I didn't know that, you know, like being prepared or how to deal with confrontation and all that stuff.
Yeah, you were just starting out. But, yeah.
Yeah, I was starting out. But, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, so she felt, like I said, she felt the need to follow me out the door. Which to this day I still don't even understand why. You know, I mean, as a matter of fact, you know what? I wasn't even halfway through the mall when I got stopped.
No.
You know, so in that regard, I let that one go. You know, and I do think that, you know, I'm not sure if all the mall security does it. You know, and it's like, back in 2015, I'm not sure if I told you the story or not, but back in 2015, I was in San Diego, and I went to this open door mall, actually.
Yeah. You know,
when, yes, I was barefoot, of course, but then I had my shoes in my bag. So I'm walking all on the mall, you know, passed by, I don't know how many security guards or whatever. You know, I even went there. They had a Whole Foods Market. I went inside a Whole Foods Market, and, you know, I didn't have no issue at first, until I proceeded to walk out the door when an employee talked like, They're like, well, hey man, you need shoes on, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I think I said it's not illegal. And he was like, oh, I'm just enforcing the rule or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, so I proceeded to walk to the mall. Then this old dude stopped me, one of the security guards. The old dude stopped me. I forgot his exact words, but I know he said that I needed shoes and basically told me to leave. Okay. So, but then again, you know, I went back, I went out, put my shoes on, came back through, you know, and then I noticed, I came back, and I asked him, like, why do I need shoes? I think he said something along the lines of, it's the rules or whatnot, and it's posted by the entrance, or the garage entrance, and sure enough, Yes, it was. But then again, about this particular mall, is that they allow people to bring their pets through this open door mall. So I asked the dude, why is it that y'all let pets walk through the mall? And he said, oh, pets are different from humans. Oh, really? I'm like, wrong answer, bro. Wrong answer.
Yeah.
He said pets are different than humans. So he told me my bare feet is a problem. But yet, what if a pet just poops on your floor? Right there. I know it's an open door mall. You know. So if this pet, if this dog just freaking pees under the doggone table.
And I know, and that's a very good point that you made.
My bare feet is not. Wow.
Yeah, no, great, great point. I mean, you're not going to sit there and pee all over the floor. I mean, you know, yeah, humans are. I would almost agree with him on that, right? Yeah, of course. You're right. Humans are different than pets, because my pet would probably pee on your shoes right now. I have some respect, and I'm not going to do that to you as long as you respect me. See if he takes that as you're about to pee on his shoes. For raiding on your parade.
It was most to me, it was the most, pets are different than humans. You know, I get that far. You know, but at the same time, it's like, how do you allow pets through this mall but not bare feet?
Yeah. Now, sometimes it doesn't make any sense. You know, and the objection is you need shoes. You know, saying that I need something is just ridiculous. It's like, well, here's my shopping list. Am I missing anything? What else do you think I need? You know, hand them a whole shopping list and just say, you know, oh, you think I need that? Okay, you know what? I thought I only needed toilet paper and some toothbrush, you know, some toothpaste or something. I said, here, look at my list. See what else I need since you're the expert of my life. Here, take the whole shopping list. Here's the cart. Whatever you think I need, go ahead. I'll meet you at the checkout. Throw that out there. See what they think. We do have another caller on the line, Kevin. Stick around with us. And it's sure. Richard. He's a member of the Barefoot is Legal group. And, Richard, I see you want to jump on the air. So welcome to the Barefoot is Legal show. And you're on with
Kevin. Hey, how you doing?
Kevin's. How you doing? Well, thanks for giving us a call. Thanks for joining us.
Not a worry. Actually, you guys just touched on a few things that every time I see it in a post, I always kind of cringe because, you know, what? I've been doing the whole barefooting thing since, you know, late 89 or so. And the movement's been growing considerably, and I've watched all the missteps that we've made from time to time. And one of the things is that always keeping our arguments about why barefooting is good and why it's not a bad thing. It's always been something that I've always been focused on, making sure you're getting the right message out. So anytime you get into any sort of discussion or thought process, you know, philosophical thought process with somebody else, you want to come across so they walk away thinking, wow, that makes a lot of sense, and then you change their perspective. And one of the analogies that I keep hearing is the thing about pets. And as you already just kind of touched on it already, is yes, pets are different, and no offense to Kevin. When somebody throws that out, you know, and says, well, pets are different, or, you know, dogs, cats, whatever, are different than humans, it's exactly correct. And what it feeds to is the fact that as human beings, as a society, we accept dogs and cats as they are. That's their normal condition, to be bare pawed. And
yeah,
it just shows, it illustrates that society does not accept human beings to be in their natural state. So bare feet is not a natural state of position. And even though we all, as barefooters, know that it is, other people, and that's the thing that I think as barefooters, we often don't try to put ourselves, you know, excuse the pun, we don't put ourselves in their shoes to try to see their way of thinking. And the best way to figure out how to overcome somebody else's objections is to view what it is they're perceiving. Because once you get that part down, you can fight their arguments and, you know, maybe you won't win that particular battle, but at least you'll plant the seeds to start making changes in their thinking.
Yeah, very good point. Because that's one thing that I always talk about. You know, a lot of times you'll hear stories or you read posts where it's like, someone came up to me and told me I don't need shoes, and I sat there and I told them all about the health department, and I told them about the state cards, and I told them about the ADA, and I told them about this, and I told them about that, and I told them about that, blah, blah, blah. And you just got to look at it like, have you ever just stopped and said why? Finding out what their objection is so that you know what leg to stand on when you're having that argument is also very important. And you know, you can't argue every point until you know what point it is they're trying to make and what their reason is as to why. And I read a lot of your posts in the group, and I mean, you comment a lot on, you know, a lot of the logic that I think all the time. And it's funny because I'll sometimes see a post and I'm like, oh, well, this is what this is about, and this is how you deal with that. And then it's like, I see your comment and it's like, oh, well, he already said that. Cool. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, you also can't argue with a fool. But when you say, like, yes, give them the information and you know what you're talking about and all that, it's great because, you know, if they walk away thinking like, you know what, they really know what they're doing. Or even with a simple statement like, you need shoes. Yeah, the why is nice, but sometimes just coming flat out and saying, you know, I used to think the same thing too. And because of blah, 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 and for my own safety or for my own health or for my own whatever, I don't. And I've been doing this for X amount of years. And it almost turns it into more of a curiosity thing, like what you're talking about, Richard, where then they may walk away thinking, you know, hey, that really gave me something to digest there. And, you know, I'm going to do a little research on this. And I'm glad I almost learned, you know, maybe they had a learning experience or they had an epiphany or something. But at the same time, you still can't change stupid. And you can't change the fool that doesn't want to listen. And that's what's still
Absolutely.
Sad. Yeah.
You know, that's funny, too, because one of the, you just touched on a bunch of things. Like me, I don't have too many problems when I'm out barefoot, even when I get confronted. And
I don't either.
You know, I'll admit a part of it is because I'm an older guy. And we still are in a society where, you know, older guys, you see the white beard, you kind of like, yeah, he probably knows a few things. And you tend to leave those folks alone a little bit. I mean, you know, that's just life. But I always have my arguments in line. When somebody comes up and tells me I can't be barefooted, the first words out of my mouth are always, oh, okay, pay them the respect that whatever you're saying, you're the person who's here, I'm going to listen to what you're telling me so that they don't feel like you're going to be confrontational, even though I'm
yeah.
about to be very confrontational in a very subtle manner. And then the next question I go is, if you don't mind me asking, why? Why can't I be barefoot? And then I let them say whatever it's going to be. Often it's the, you know, risk of liability or it's the health department. And
yeah.
then after they give their answers, I then ask them again, really, is that it? And then when they sit there and say yes, that's where I've got them trapped. They've now committed
exactly.
to these are my yep. objections, and that's all there is to it. So if they bring up anything else after you overcome those objections, they're basically telling you, nope, I'm a foot phobe or I'm power tripping. Which case they're idiots, you're not going to be able to get past that. But once they tell me what their reasons are, I always sit there and then put myself lumped in with them with the simple statement as, you know what, I used to think that too. Just what you said just a moment ago. When I say that phrase, you can see them look at me like, okay, so we're on the same page, but you're
what
contradicting
changed?
What I
What happened? Yeah,
what
exactly.
Changed? And then I explain them. I go, you know what, I found out on the internet, blah, 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 blah. this is what the real situation is. There's no actual laws. And then you let them react. They're like, really? Yeah. Now it's like two buddies sitting there kind of talking, discussing something.
Yeah.
And then you sit there and you give them the rest of the information. And then you sit there and, you know, nine times out of ten, I mean, and it actually happens where they're walking away going, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Okay, well, you know, I go, tell you what, let me go out and get my shoes, or you know what, I can go, you know, get my, go out and I'll just go shop somewhere else.
Yeah, that's always a big I'll go somewhere else.
That's okay, just go ahead and do what you're going to do. And they let me shop barefoot, but I tell them, I go, you know what, don't worry, nobody's going to find out. Also, too, for Kevin, being that I've done security guard work for a lot of years in my youth, it's very common for security guards to be instructed that when they find something that is supposed, for lack of a better term, an incident, a problem, that
out
they
the
are
usual.
To make sure that they've concluded it to its termination, meaning if, you know, let's say you're a disruptive person at a store, they're not going to go to the store and tell you, hey, leave the store, leave the mall, and then just let you walk around the corner and then ignore it. No, they're going to walk you all the way out. And 99% of the time, unless you actually have some, you know, prejudiced, racist, power-tripping security guard, which obviously there are, they're just doing their job to make sure they do what they've been told to do. So, you know, a lot of times when, you know, folks kind of take that personally, I try to tell them, well, I wouldn't necessarily take it personally. Just realize, you know, watch for the warning signs. If they're truly being racist, prejudiced, power-tripping, whatever, just get their names and then report to the mall. Tell them that you're
ask for a supervisor or Yeah. You know, because, I mean, you really get aggravated and you make a big fuss to someone, you know, regardless of what kind of a badge it is, you're going to end up with problems and you're going to look bad in the end. So sometimes being able to try to rationalize with them and all that is probably your best bet. And I'm the type that, like, you know, if something like that happened to me or something like that, I'd be like, you know, can I talk to one of your supervisors then? So we can talk about this like gentlemen, or we can talk about this, you know, like adults or whatever. Because then there's kind of thinking like, okay, there is something out of the ordinary here, you know. But Richard, you're right. I mean, you know, it's like a lot of times, like, that's your duty, that's your job, and you need to get rid of that, whatever it is that's out of place, and make sure it's not here anymore. And it's really just an order that they have that they need to follow. And sometimes even if they agree with you, they'll walk away, they'll radio to someone else, maybe then get in touch with the supervisor when they're available or something like that to hopefully hammer it over, and everything's okay. It's like, hey, this is what's going on over here, boss. You know, blah, blah, what do we do? You know, it's like, in what your approach is and my approach, and Kevin, I'm sure the approach that you use, and a lot of the listeners and a lot of members of the BIL community, or I should say Barefoot community, include everybody, that, you know, they don't understand that someone may have orders from somewhere. And just kind of asking, you know, yeah, of course, what the objection is. And then it's like, well, if they don't agree with it and they're not in a position of power to make a decision, asking for the decision maker that can address that at that moment is also very helpful. Because sometimes you just need to, you know, include maybe another party or something, you know, someone that can make that decision, someone that can make that call on the spot to get rid of the problem. And I don't want to cut anybody off, but Richard, Kevin, stay around. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour break. 319-527-6208. If you want to be a part of the show, we got some other callers. And when we come back, more great content, but we got to pay the bills. No one dropped off a big suitcase full of cash yet. So got to do something about that. This is how we do it. Stay
tuned. How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty's Gardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. So join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, the first Saturday of every month. Listen to Are You Ready? And be prepared.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless.
Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how shoeless can benefit you. For more information about shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates. Back 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Listening to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. I'm your host, Nick Pierce, here on Freedomizer Radio. And before the break, we were talking to Richard, longtime member, avid barefooter, and same thing with Kevin's, a frequent listener caller of the show. We do have a lot on the phone lines going on today. I know they're lighting up. But I know that before the break, Richard, welcome back, and you were mentioning a bunch of things, and also Alex, another one of our members, has joined us. Alex, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal program. You had something about what Richard was talking about that you want to share with us. Got your brain moving, from what I understand.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. Yeah, Richard was saying on how to interact with folks, and I was like, wow, man, that's some good stuff. Because I can recall what Kevin was saying, you know, I think guys get discriminated more than women, in my opinion.
You know, I've noticed that too.
I've
noticed that too. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, whatever, if you could just reiterate what you just said, Richard. That was some good stuff, and just to jog my memory on what to say. And I used to, because I like to be pretty collaborative when I talk to people, and I remember, you know, just things to maybe get them thinking. That's kind of along the lines that I would try. But sometimes when you're new, you don't know what else to say. But I actually wanted to ask Richard, since I work in school, how would I go about that? Because, you know, in passing, there are other fellow staff members who, you know, think like I do, but they don't do because obviously they don't want to get yelled at and kids could care less. But, you know, there's so-called rules. And, you know, I had an update on this event I wanted to do that I was talking to you, Nick, about several months ago. But, yeah, I just want to see if Richard could finish up on all that. And then I'll add to my experience that I had a couple of days ago.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear about your experience. And, yeah, Richard, I know it probably had mostly to do with that, getting people to walk away thinking.
and giving them that educational experience, enlightening them and stuff like that.
What specifically would that you were looking for me to answer? Because this, I hate to say this, but this, the interacting with people, I mean, it's almost a baby step thing. The biggest thing is to have, that I would suggest for new barefooters, and I've tried to post stuff before, but you know, it gets lost. I mean, we got a lot of members and it's great and we get a lot of posts, but the best thing is to actually have an idea. I mean, what I just outlined was a basic approach that'll work in most situations. And it's good to have like a written out, this is what I'm going to say when I hear this objection, and this is what I'm going to say when I hear this objection. But more often than not, it takes actually having to get to a point where, regardless of who it is you're interacting with, in your mind, you've got to immediately turn that person into, how do I talk when I'm with my buddies? How do I talk when I'm with my parents, type of a deal? Get you into that relaxed state. These are people that you will dialogue and discuss with. Oftentimes when we get confronted by strangers, because of that that barrier of who they are, we kind of shut down and don't express ourselves fully. But the basic thing that I always do whenever I get approached is that first thing is just agree with them and say, okay, I hear what you're saying, but let me ask you why. That's the second part of it. You ask them why, and you get them to commit by asking them why, what their objections are. And that whole asking them why they're telling you to leave, why you can't be barefooted, it's a trap. It's a trap question. You're trying to get them to say the one, two, maybe three things that they're objecting to, because as all of us barefooters should know by now, is that there are no laws. There's no objections. There's nothing real that they can stand on.
Yeah, there's no
substance. Once you get them to commit to those objections, yeah. So once you get those objections, then you can give them the information to shoot that down. And before I give them that information, I always sit there and say, oh, okay, I used to think that way too. That statement, just that one little statement, I used to think that way too, is you lumping yourself in with them. Because the worst thing is when people are made to feel stupid. You know, not only are they confronting you from their job perspective, which is not always necessarily a pleasant thing, having to go up to somebody and tell them, you can't be in here anymore. That's not a pleasant thing for most people to begin with. So they may be on a defensive. And then to be made to look stupid on top of it will oftentimes turn less intelligent people that, you know, have, you know, or kind of have a lack of personal ego, for lack of a better term. It will put them in a position where, I don't care what you say, I'm closed-minded, now I'm just going to do my job because I don't like you now.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
makes sense.
Yeah.
But if
and
you
another
sit
thing
and
with
say,
that,
I used to think that. I used to think that way too. You've lumped yourself in with them. Now it's like, oh, we're the same. I don't have to feel foolish because this guy telling me this information also used to be in that same, you know, position of ignorance.
Yeah.
So once
and
you enlighten them, see that. Go ahead.
No, Richard, I was just remarking on that before it gets too far into it, before I lose what I'm trying to say. The what happens is you're gaining a rapport with them, and that's one thing is identifying, like what you're saying, where you're just that simple statement, yeah, I used to think the same thing. It's very open, because then it's like, well, what do you mean you used to think the same thing? Well, I'm kind of curious now. Or you're relating to them but not relating. You're keeping that distance. And then taking it from there, just having that rapport, it's the first step in being able to have that open dialogue. And going back to what you're saying before that, as far as being comfortable, is if you're talking to someone like it's your family member or friend or someone, it's very interesting because at the same time you're saying, well, we're just going to have a friendly exchange. I'm not acknowledging your authority over this. And they really don't have any authority over that except for whatever position they're in a way, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to come into your world. You're on their turf. But they're nowhere near equipped to have this conversation. Once you know your facts, you know what the law is, and you have whatever the tools are to reinforce what you're going to convince them of. So having a copy of a state rights card or a VIB membership card or something from the BIL, or having a copy of the ADA card or having a letter from their corporate office – you then have all the ammunition you need, but you're almost setting a trap for the enemy. You're sitting there saying, like, okay, yeah, I do agree with what you're saying, or I used to think, or I not agree, but I used to think the same thing, but that's not really the case.
Yeah, that actually, that's good. And I'm wondering if having those cards would help in a school work environment. I don't know if it would, because I know they have these so-called handbooks and rules and stuff like that. And every state's different. Every, you know, public, private, you know, alternative type of schools, they're all different. Obviously, public schools, I think, is where it's the hardest. I don't know if it's an East Coast thing, or I don't know how it is out on the West Coast or Midwest and all that stuff. But just real quickly, Nick, I don't know if you remember, we were talking a couple months ago about this idea, kind of like a trick to get kids and staff to go barefoot, kind of hijack a movement that is necessarily the opposite, but they do a day without shoes, and I'm sure people have heard of it, you know, Tom's Day with that.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about that. And you were going to approach the principal or someone about that to see if maybe something like that could happen. Did anything ever happen with that? Like,
I had several people that were interested, and as I was trying to gain, you know, listeners and then people that were interested, and I emailed a few people back and forth. But essentially, when I finally got the go that the principal wanted to hear what I had to say, she never really, and you have to understand, this particular principal is kind of, I don't want to say she's a hard case, but she's always going by literally the book. I have a friend that I met there that had recently left. He almost made it sound like it's, now I'm not here to offend any people listening, but it's like a bureaucratic matriarchy, you know, you do what I say and nothing else. It kind of seems like that. So when I present the information,
like a dictatorship than anything else.
She never really looked at the information that I emailed her, because I figured, you know, let me save some time, you know, and she could check it all out. Never really looked into it. So how can you know? And I even gave evidence of other schools and districts doing this. So, yeah, it was a little frustrating, kind of a letdown, because I was super excited about it. But it was fun, the only reason I sent her all the emails of interactions, she was surprised about that. She's like, you know, why are you interacting so much, you know, as you go about your day? You know, she just wants people to just do their job. And, I mean, most people can't live like that, you know. We're human beings. We're not robots. But anyways, side issue. But, it's just like, really? And they were trying to throw, like, well, you know, because the whole stigma that people have, you can't. You know, the rule, you know, it's health. You can't, especially in the cafeteria, you can't have. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm not going to argue, but you're still in that mindset. No,
what
I don't
kind
know if she was taught
this. She said it was a, what kind of school was this?
I was in elementary school, and I know I post sometimes that I work at several schools, but this particular one I work a lot at. And just elementary school.
Elementary school. But was this like a private school or?
No, it's a public school.
Public school.
No, it's a private school. Yeah.
Public school. Okay.
So, yeah, it was just, you know, I was kind of bummed.
Like
what I did was, on June 1st is National Barefoot Day.
Yeah.
And I figured, hey, you know, it's a day after field day. And I figured, hey, you know, it's a Friday, why not? But, you know, and I'm wondering, and then she says, you will not go barefoot, like, you know, like really certain stuff. I'm like, you're telling me I can't do this, can't do that. And my mind is like, it's not a dictatorship, but.
It's a public school. So it's not like it's a charter school where there may be a board or something that makes these decisions. There's a superintendent somewhere. There's a board of education somewhere.
He was there too, ironically.
There you go. talk to them.
He was in the meeting, too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So it's like, he's saying it's not about you. Because he's thinking that this is all about me because I want to go barefoot. But that's not, I was really trying to think about other people. So I don't know what their mindset was. Anyways, that's kind of what I wanted to share. I don't know if Kevin or Richard or you, Nick, have anything to add or say to that or how we can change the hearts and minds of the youth.
You know, you're in an interesting position there because you're in an interesting position because that's also where you work. So they're also the ones that sign your paycheck. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can have a more advocacy-minded conversation with them and change their minds because you're already submissive to them. Your job is
to work for
them. And
which is funny because I thought there would be a difference as versus someone who has subs at schools and versus as an employee because, you know, I was always curious about that situation too. But you continue.
Yeah, but you're their employee. Their job is that you work. Their job is that you work for them, and your job is that you work for them. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't work for you.
Yeah,
they don't have to serve you. You work for them. And you signed up for this. You signed up to take their orders and educate the way the school district or the Board of Education decides that they're going to be educated. Now, you can sit there, and if they tell you, you have to teach them that the world is flat or that, you know, I mean, you could name it. I mean, name any topic. If that's what the textbook is that they want you to teach from, you have to do that.
Tom and Cora is an example of that.
Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
No, Common Core is an example of that. They're proving time and again that Common Core method of teaching math isn't better than the old school way we used to do, you know, to teach math. And now that you've got a lot of educators that are on both sides of that fence, but all of them are forced to have to teach Common Core.
Yeah.
Which I heard is they're getting rid of it, is what I heard. But that may be wrong.
Well, now they are.
Anyway,
but I mean, but what happened was they gave it an opportunity. They're not giving you an opportunity. So even though Common Core may not have made any sense, just like the argument that they're trying to present against you makes no sense for whatever their objections are, someone went in there and sold them a bill of BS and said that this is what you should teach in your classroom. You know, it's like when the Chicago program of algebra came around years ago in the classrooms. It's like when, you know, I mean, a publisher is going to say, hey, you know what? You can't afford math books. We'll start teaching this. We're going to give you all these books for free, and we're going to train your teachers to do it. And they're just like, hey, we needed textbooks anyway. Okay, whatever they say, we're in. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like that's the way it works. It's like the free samples a doctor's office will give you. A doctor would probably never recommend whatever it is, but then all of a sudden some pharmaceutical rep comes in and says, oh, hey, by the way, this is the latest, newest, whatever that treats this. So here's a bunch of samples to give to your patients and, you know, just write some prescriptions on it. And we get, you know, make some money off of it, too. And they sit there and do it. It's like the Common Core thing. But what's happening is that they're not looking at the logical thing behind it, and I don't know. But go ahead.
But you were saying,
Richard?
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not the subject, it's very interesting, but not having exactly have an answer for it is, but like for any store, like if they come and say, well, you know, it's store policy, how do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, policies are just written and they can be changed. But Kevin, a very interesting thing that you could probably relate to Alex about this with is that, you know, you being in the military, you have certain orders and certain conduct and stuff that happens on base. So you can't necessarily go up against those, just like Alex is in a position where he can't go up against some of these powers that be as well.
Well, you're exactly right, because yeah, the military, that's a whole different world. You know what I'm saying? Because most of the stuff that we do, you know what I'm saying, especially when it comes to conducting business, if I got to go to medical or I got to go to dental, you know, I have to be in uniform. I just can't show up in street clothes and I'm barefoot. That's not going to work. Now, now at the bowling alley, that's totally different because it's the bowling alley. But conducting business that on the base, that's totally different.
Yeah. And I think it's almost similar to what Alex is going through because whereas he's there, he has to be there to conduct business. And if he's there conducting business, then he's bound by the dictates of authority to do it the way they want him to.
You know, it's crazy. On Twitter, I don't know if it was Nick that posted. They show it was like National Have Fun at Work Day, and then he has a picture of people, you know, barefoot and dressed as Hawaiian people. And I'm like, man, I wish schools were like that. You know, I don't know what kind of business this company was, but yeah.
Yeah, but I did an episode last year at some point, probably in the spring, where I talked about schools and how they, you know, they'll do like hat days even though hats are against the rules. Or they'll do like red t-shirt day even though you can't wear like colors that could signify gangs or something. You know, it seems like policy and stuff like that. I think that maybe a way in through the student council may be a better way because those are the ones that mostly do all these silly days. You know, pajama day, hat
right.
day,
yeah.
you know. I think that if it's something the student body is willing to do and they can sell it and vote, because I think that way of thinking is more encouraged and staff doesn't really have anything to do with it except for approving yay or nay. It happens. It's not like one man from the outside coming in with an agenda to impose on students as opposed to the student body themselves saying, this is something we want to try. This is something we want to do. Can we get it approved?
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, I would presume older kids would probably be able to get that rolling rather than young kids because, you know, they have to listen to adults and all that.
I think younger kids enjoy the lifestyle more. I mean, younger kids seem to be the ones that are more likely to kick off their shoes and run around and enjoy it. It seems like the older they get, they're more indoctrinated to say, oh, it's wrong, it's you can't do that, or, you know, people are going to think that I'm this, that, or the other for doing it the older they get. But, I mean, the older ones are the ones that will probably have more of a say in a vote or something with student council than, you know, up against the school or the board or the powers that be that would okay an activity. Whether it's wear a ribbon around your ear or, you know, whatever it is day, I think that, you know, maybe the older ones are your best bet. Tap into that. Tap into that resource and see what can actually happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
A quick comment. Have you bothered to look into some of the articles? And I'm trying to remember which countries have done it, but they've done some studies that show that kids that are actually allowed to be barefoot in class actually creates a calmer environment that's more conducive to learning, and the kids actually do retain more of the information they're being taught.
Yeah,
when
New Zealand, right?
New Zealand, but I think there's a couple of Scandinavian countries that are also done their own studies. I want to say Finland, but...
Yep, in the UK was one of the most recent ones. You're right, Richard. There's so many studies out there that show that kids are more attentive in the classroom. They retain better information. They're more focused and better behaved even because they have that somewhat of a liberated thing. They're not so constricted and confined and having to go through whatever the imposed thought process is. And they actually perform, do better, get better grades, everything, write, read, skills accelerate and everything.
And that's something that I think I were in your situation is have that information committed to memory so that anytime some little crack where somebody mentions anything about children's behavior or anything like that, you could start spouting that those studies about children being barefooted.
Yeah. And those are on the
over
website.
Time, I mean,
They are on the website. If you go to barefootislegal.org, those studies are published there under articles and health and all that. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And great points. I know we're running out of time. We only have maybe 30 seconds left of the show. Richard, Alex, Kevins, everybody listening, thanks very much for joining this broadcast and everything. And Richard, great insight. Come back and join us. And Alex, you know, I really hope that everything works out with things at the school, and I hope this gave you a little bit of some tools to use and everything. And Kevin's always, you know, as always, thanks for serving us, and appreciate the work you do as well. And three very great guys on the phones today. Ambassadorship for Barefoot is Legal. But we are out of time. I'm back again next Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 Pacific. And also don't forget about my other show, Before Barefoot is Legal, on Freedomizer Radio.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host.
There.
Not that.
And that is not the show closer. This is the show closer. So, everybody, it's who's off. Give it a shot. Nick Pierce. Thanks for tuning in.